see wisdom in your word this morning. Thank you for the great times we've had already, full of your spirit. We ask for greater and further light this morning as we walk in the path that you have created for us beforehand. We behold Jesus the Son as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 3:19, then we close this convention sharing along the same lines. We've looked at the word. It says the times of refreshing. How many of you have had times of refreshing? Hallelujah. Filled with the Spirit. Now, that said, you know, we said the times of refreshing will come from his resurrection. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus gives us the access to be filled with the Spirit as many times as we want to be. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. That means if I read that verse 20 times in an hour, it means be what? Filled with the Spirit. Some scholars have told us it means maintain the Spirit-filled life, or be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's something you should maintain all the time. It's not for the program in the church. No, it should be the lifestyle of a believer. That's why, you know, we said yesterday, when they were going to choose deacons in Acts 6:3, they looked out for men full of the Holy Ghost. Now, every believer should, don't forget that, the entire church in Acts 2:1 to 4 were full of the Spirit. In Acts 4 verse 31-2, they were filled with the Spirit. But that means, for some, it's not just in the meetings. It's a lifestyle. You see them function in the things of the Spirit so regularly. So you and I ought to take advantage of this benefit of the resurrection of Jesus. To be filled with the Spirit all the time. Hallelujah. In John's Gospel chapter 7, let's go there quickly. John's Gospel chapter 7. John's Gospel chapter 7. Now, read to you verse 37. If any man thirsts after Jesus speaking, let him come unto me and drink. Now, this is a statement that referred to his resurrection. We saw that the other time. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I told you the word, as the scripture has said, is not any particular verse of scripture. It summarizes Jesus, his ministry will give living water. You know, he had said that earlier on in John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then when Nicodemus asked the question further in John 3:5, says, if he's born of water, that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And he was talking about the Spirit. So he referred to the Spirit as water. Also in John 4:14, he says, if you ask of me, I'll give in you to you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So several times he uses the word water to explain the work of the Spirit. And in this instance too, in John 7, he says in verse 39, but this speak ye of what? Of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. So, that means the giving of the Spirit relates with his resurrection. Hallelujah. Still out there? Are you still out there? So, on the day of Pentecost, for example, we see, and listen to this one, Acts 2:1 to 4. See, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, all these folks were in one place, in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And then they were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Notice, the church, the old church, the entire church, that means it's possible for an entire congregation to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, in this convention, have we all been filled with the Spirit? Come on, talk to me. Was it just the pastor coming to show off? No. Everybody had room to participate. Why? Because that's the mind of Jesus. The whole church. Filled with the Spirit. The same in Acts 4:31. Everyone who came to pray, they were filled with the Spirit. Everybody. Filled with the Spirit. Given to utterances. And notice, Jesus said, He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Talking about himself. And how do we function in what Jesus gave us? We saw it yesterday. By speaking, primarily. Because on the day of Pentecost, what was most active was speaking. They spoke. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Where Paul talked about the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. I want us to do some simple arithmetic. Simple arithmetic. It's very simple to see. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, here's Paul speaking, and he says, follow after love, that's charity, and desire spiritual things, but rather you may prophesy. Now, so, he begins to tell us how to desire spiritual things. Look at this. He says, for he that speaks, the first thing he says is what? Speak. And he didn't stop there. Look at how many times he mentions speaking. Look at this. Let's read it together. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men. Twice. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks 3 times. He that prophesies speaks 4 times. Verse 4. He that speaks in tongues 5 times. Is that 5 or 6? 5. Verse 5. Then he said, he that prophesies edifies. That's also speaking. That's 6. Verse 5. I read that you all spoke with tongues. That's 7. Right? That you prophesied. That's 8. Greater is he that prophesied at 9 than he that speaks in tongues. That's 10. Except he interpreted, the church may be edified or receive edifying. Interpretation is also speaking. That's 11. If I come to you speaking, that's 12. Except I shall speak to you, 13. Alright? Then go quickly to verse 9. Likewise, you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Still talking about speaking. Verse 12, if as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaks, that's 13, the unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. That the word pray is also speaking, or desire. Verse 14, if I pray in tongues, that's 16 or 15? 15. My spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Then it says, how is it then I'll pray with the spirit? That's 17. I'll pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit. That's 18. I'll sing with the understanding also. How shall he, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit? How shall he that occupies the room on the saying that I've given thanks, seeing that he understands no word that's here? That's 18. For thou verily givest thanks well. That's 19. He's talking about how to desire things of the spirit. Watch this. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words in my understanding, in my voice, maybe I might teach others, than 10,000 words in unknown tongue. Then look at verse, 23. If therefore the whole church may come together into one place and all speak. That should be 19, I think. Is that 19? 19, okay. With tongues. And they come in one, unlearned, unbelieving. How shall this, would they not say that you are mad? 44, prophesy. That's 20. They come in one that believes or unlearned. And is convinced of all, is judged of all. And in the secret of his heart, I made manifest. Look at 26. And brethren, when you come together, and every one of you has a psalm which is speaking, a doctrine, a tongue, and a revelation and interpretation, let all things be done to edify. That's 25. Then he says, if any man speak in tongues, that's 26. Let it be by 2 or 3 at more, at by cause, let one interpret, that's 27. If there be no interpreter, let him speak silence in the church and let him speak, that's 28. Let the prophet speak, that's 29. Then verse 31. You may all prophesy. That should be what? I'm losing count. Huh? 32. Very good. Okay, quickly now go to verse 39. Let's go. Let's take verse 39 together. Wherefore, brethren, convert to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. That's how many? Verse 33. So, how do I desire things of the Spirit? By speaking. The instruction he's speaking. You know this. If there's something you can control in your life, is your speaking. You can. Speaking. So, he says, when you come together, he says, you have a tongue. You have a sound. You have an instruction. You have a revelation. You have an interpretation. He says, let all things be done unto edifying. So as a believer, you get filled with the Spirit as many times as you want by speaking. God doesn't fill you with His Spirit. He's giving you His Spirit. You do the work. You are the one that gets filled with the Spirit. That's why every time you read the word filled with the Spirit, it has to do with what a man did, which we have seen so far, is speaking. So can we go to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's see something. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Shall I give myself to speaking? Shall I give myself to speaking? If you're in a church service, an intelligent thing to do is to speak with tongues silently. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Because Paul says, if you speak with tongues, you edify yourself. Would you love to edify yourself as they're teaching? I'm asking. You love to? Exactly. You edify yourself. You edify yourself. To edify yourself means to strengthen yourself. To build yourself. Jude 20 says, beloved, build up yourselves on the most holy faith or your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So I can build myself. Ephesians 5:18, are you there? Now watch it. Let's take it together. Ephesians 5:18, let's go. And be not drunk, everybody. Ephesians 5:18, are you there? Let's go. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to yourselves. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I want you to observe something. Sometimes we teach these things as three things, but they are not three things. Pay very good attention. When it says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you see, in Bible construction, there's sometimes a word. He's giving three different expressions. Just like when you read 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. They are not three different things. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you is the same thing. Grace, peace, grace and mercy is the same thing. So when you say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God. And it is the fellowship of the Spirit. Do you understand? So it's emphasis. Now, the same thing here, when you hear psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, it's a simple construction. When you say psalms, a psalm is sung. In fact, everywhere you see a psalm, in the New Testament Greek, is always sung or sung. In Matthew 6:30, I suppose, Jesus sang a psalm. Matthew 26:30. I'm right. And they sang an hymn. Pardon me. They sang an hymn. And it's a psalm, actually. It's a psalm of David. They sang it. Also, the psalms of David were songs. Are you there? So, the second time you see the word psalm also used before, outside 1 Corinthians 14. You will see it in James 5. He says, is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. James 5:30. Sing psalms. So in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when Paul says you have a psalm, what was he referring to? He had told you earlier, I will sing with the Spirit. To bless with the Spirit. So, psalms are also songs. Am I right? Are we right? Of course, hymns are songs. So the hymn describes a psalm. What is a psalm? A psalm is like a poem, an ode, a song sung as a like a poem, an ode. So when it said hymn, it's to place an emphasis on the psalm because a psalm can be a poem for a woman by a man. Some of you have done that before. Begin to wind your head and say, you are the turtle dove in my apple tree. Stuff like that. That's a psalm, for example. So, but it says a hymn. A hymn means a praise to God. That already shows you it's not a normal psalm. So a psalm, which is a hymn, then it's a spiritual song. Spiritual song is to show you where the song came from. The word spiritual, listen carefully, simply means from the Spirit. So it's not referring to David's psalms. I've seen churches where they say, the Bible says we should sing in psalms as a spiritual song. So they bring out hymn 46. Or SOP, Song of Praise. Now that day is over. And then they also sing David's psalms. No. He is talking about there will be psalm given to you at that moment. Hallelujah. And that psalm is a hymn to God. Praise God. And it will come by the Spirit. In other words, it will come by the gifts of the Spirit. Now, which of the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation? The utterance gifts. Are you following what I'm saying? That will be what? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and what? Prophecy. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? Same thing in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word, word, is utterance. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. No, all wisdom, pardon me. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, singing. Can you see it again? Singing with grace in your heart. So, when you have a psalm goes to God, okay? Or speaks about God. But it also speaks to the church. So, a psalm can be something that when it is sung, you receive from it. Yeah, I've said this before. I said this to our own music team as well. That really, when you read scriptures very well, there's really no place for the choir or the music team. You guys don't feel bad. I always use this as an example every time I turn to the right. There's no place for it because every believer ought to be singing. So their role is to coordinate our singing. Their role can never be to come and sing on our heads. They will clap for them. See singing, see voice. You know, some folks think that that's what the music team is about. See display. That's a joke. Hallelujah. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching. Hallelujah. And admonishing one another. So, the songs that will come from your spirit will bring the word of God to us. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? What? Bring the word of God to us. Now, let me ask you. The instruction Paul gave in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, is it for the music team? Or the choir? What do we call you? Living word sound. No offenses. But, or only B. Or salvation voices. Hallelujah. You know, this is a permissive will of God. Because the word of God says that all believers must sing. Hallelujah. Get that? Paul says when we come together, every one of us will have a song. So, usually, what we ought to do is that as we come to the service, all of us will sing by the Spirit. Is that clear? We sing by the Spirit. And then some of us will now come out and then give us the interpretation of those things they sang in the Spirit. Then we all sing it together. Praise God. Is that cool? You understand that? So we are full of the Spirit. Now, if we do it like that, that means all of us have the access to be filled with the Spirit. Everybody. So it's not an entertainment thing. And that's why many of the music teams, they spend a lot of time, you know, practicing. Auto, treble, terrible, motto, Tremor, Trevor. Is that still Trevor? You know Trevor? Tremor say, They didn't want to practice. They say, Father, for this practice we're about to start, bless our voices in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh yeah, Sister Mokwe. What's that kicking? 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Sometimes they even fight in the middle of it. I've been a choir master before, so I know. My grandfather was a choir master. My father was a choir master. I'm not sure about my son. I don't think he's that generational. My two grandfathers, both my mom and my dad, they were the same. He used to sing a lot. My dad used to sing. He didn't have a good voice, but he used to sing. And I wonder how it was. There was a song he composed that he brought out stick. He's from Aladura Church, so I understand his plight. Anyway. So you sing by the Spirit. You sing in tongues. Can we do that right now? Can we sing in tongues? You don't need a keyboard, just sing in tongues. Hold on. Is that song spiritual? Go ahead. Sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Now sing in understanding. Now sing in understanding of what you sang in tongues. Mix it. Mix it up. Go ahead. Can someone from the... Keep singing, don't look at me. Except I'm talking to you. Can someone from the music team sing something for us in the Spirit? Not you, somebody else. Who can help us? I was not talking to you. Can someone from the music team? You can? You play and sing. You sing. Don't look. You see, that's the thing. You like looking. Are you Lukman? Sing. Sing to the Lord. Get him a microphone. So let's see what the choir should be doing to us. We're already singing. Blessing the Lord. Go ahead and sing.
Praise to His name.
Keep singing. Till He has a song in understanding. You keep singing. You understand that?
Praise will raise to the skies. Is not the day when His love is not upon us. There's not a time when His hand does not cover. There's not a moment that He does not see. So lift your voice and praise. We will shout it upon the mountains. We will raise and the hills. We will sing of His great love. There's just one name. Just one name.
You see, you know, He's teaching us something. Have you seen that? Sing it again.
What a Savior. What a life He has given to us. What a sacrifice. What an offering He gave today. Our lips will praise. There's just one name.
There's one name
that unites the heaven, heavens.
Glory.
There's just one name that unites the head. The name of Jesus worries down throughout the earth.
That's right.
Till all we see
Hallelujah. Thank you. So, that's the job of the music team. Hallelujah. Now, from what he has done now, you now get better in what you should do. Right? Do you see that? Okay, go ahead and sing it. You sing one more, just one more. Don't look at him. It's not a show. Sing it all this time.
To his word, when I look into the picture, when I look into the perfect law, liberty gave to us, my soul was saved. Spirit shouts, all I see today is His peace, with great love He is wrapped around us, that all may know that Jesus is love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, thank you. That's what the music team should be doing to us. Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. This is, by the way, did you find out that you were probably singing something similar? Who found that out? Okay, so why? Because we are full of the Spirit. Does it make sense now? Okay, I know we're coming to a time when this will be a normal church service. Praise the Lord. Did I say? We have come to that time. Hallelujah. Where we'll have a church service and everybody's singing by the Spirit. Amen. I'm not saying you guys will be out of relevance. But you just know your role. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have a singing spirit. Hallelujah. The believer's spirit is a singing spirit. So I have a singing spirit. Now ignore the way it sounds. I'm not sure Jesus had a good voice, but the way he sounds, I'm not even sure Paul had a good voice, because he told us he didn't have a form of comeliness. I'm not sure he had a good voice. So in case you're singing your own like this, Jesus is alive. Yeah, well, like that here. Okay, that's Alex. I'm trying to see someone. You guys will make a beautiful music team. The two of them. One day she was singing, and I said, "What's that?" everybody. I think Rotimi likes to sing after the convention is over. You'll see him. Where's Lan? Yeah, he's outside. Both of them will come after the service. Ah! They like to sing after the rapture. Praise the Lord. We have a singing spirit. So, to call it a spiritual song, it shows you it's not a composed song from somewhere. It will come from your spirit. Praise the Lord. How often can I have these songs? As often as possible. In other words, if an unborn again man by the name of David can compose about 100 psalms and it wasn't filled with the spirit as we are today, how much more you? Praise God. How much more you? Alright, so we're filled with the Spirit, so we can speak to ourselves. Praise God. To what intent? When we edify ourselves, to what intent. Now go to Acts 13. Just going to quickly. Yesterday we looked at joy. And I just went briefly on it. Acts 13:52. And the disciples, Acts 13:52, were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now when you have the word filled, that means it is taking a hold of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. They were filled with joy. Then we looked at Jesus also in Luke 10:21. The Bible says he rejoiced in the Spirit. He rejoiced in the Spirit. He rejoiced in the Spirit. No big thing. Rejoicing in the Spirit is not the dancing scale of woo. That's not rejoicing in the Spirit. Rejoicing in the Spirit on coordinated steps. It has no beat it's following. It's leaping up and down, reckless abandon. Sometimes you run. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's to exalt. That's what it means. So they were filled with joy. In other words, as they chased them out of that city, don't come and preach, and it threw them out. Rather than those folks being sad, they were full of joy. Hallelujah. They were full of joy. They gave out a laugh. Hallelujah. They didn't have to bring in a comedian to be full of joy. Praise God. God has given you all the joy you will ever need in your life. See, the joy you need is not in the mouth of a comedian. The joy in your life is in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I'm full of joy. Full of joy. Hallelujah. I'm full of joy. I'm full of joy. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, full of joy. I'm full of joy. Hallelujah. You sit down. I have to close. All right. You're full of joy. What does it do to us? What does it do to us? We're strengthened. Because we are full of the Spirit. Now follow this one. Why are we being edified? What's the point? You know, healing is not edification. Healing is a product of it. That's why you discover that in 1 Corinthians 14, he doesn't mention any of the power gifts. Hallelujah. You know, in the natural, you will think that the power gifts are the greater gifts. But to us, the greater gifts are the utterance gifts and the revelation gifts. So healing isn't that. Healing comes as a result of that. Edification comes via the utterance gifts and then the revelation gifts. Follow this one. So why are we edified? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The word there is katatismos in the Greek. It means to fit it to function well. For the perfecting of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, what edifies the body of Christ? Or why is the body of Christ edified? For the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. The work of the ministry. As we receive edification, to what intent is it? So that we can take the gospel to the lost. If you see Jesus in the flesh today, and he's looking like, he says, Jesus, what's on your mind? He will never tell you elections of 2019 in Nigeria. What's on your mind? You say, recession. How do we handle this recession? What's on your mind? There's unemployment. What can we do? What's on your mind? He will say, salvation. salvation. Praise God. If there's something you can never do wrong, if you are doing it, you are in the will of God, 101,000%, is winning souls. Did you hear me? If you don't know the will of God in your life, if you preach the gospel, you are in the will of God. You find someone who says, Lord, what is your will for my ministry? You say the church, Lord, what's our vision statement, mission statement? You say, connecting the unconnected, networking is, you are confused. You are not a company. Your vision statement is Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A preacher told me one time, and I shook my head. He said, the time of evangelism is gone. Of one-on-one evangelism. He said, now we do organizational outreach. I thought he was joking, but he was not. You know, sometimes people say, you say they are joking. You know, my daughter will say, you're joking, right? When you say something that she doesn't like, you're joking, right? I'm not joking, I'm serious. So you find yourself say, are you joking? No, I'm not. So if you don't know the will of God, that's the will of God. The Bible says, for every sinner that repents, there's joy in heaven before the angels of God. Luke's Gospel 15 verse 10. There's joy in heaven. It is for every marriage that they contract on earth. A dear brother, he wrote something one time on Facebook, Pastor Ibuku was his name, and I will never forget what he said. I said, this is very funny, but it's interesting. He said, the situation in some churches, I won't say many, some churches, is such that if people give testimonies, someone comes and say, oh, I just bought a car. I will say, praise the Lord. It shall be permanent. It shall be permanent. What the Lord has done for you. Someone say, then the pastor just take the microphone. He say, brethren, it's happening in this church. People are buying cars. Shame. People buy cars outside the church. People are buying cars. I told you, this is the happening church. See our car park. If you go to stadiums, the car park is filled. If you go to marina any time of the day, during the week, the car parks are filled. Are they going to church? How? We are the happening church. Then the second person comes and says, praise the Lord, I've been looking for a job for 6 months, but just yesterday somebody just dropped the letter and I got the letter. I opened it. I became the MD of Asolo. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, ah, go. The choir just go, breaking the chains, breaking the chains, breaking. I will sing and say, Baba, open the floodgates in abundance. Measure for the Father. Everybody singing. Then somebody says, praise the Lord, yesterday I received salvation. Everybody just goes quiet. So what exactly is the testimony? They are still waiting for the testimony. And that is God's own testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never give up on evangelism. Let those who are gathering car dealers keep gathering car dealers. You gather saints. Hallelujah. Let those who are handing out my certificate as a proof of ministry continue. You give the gospel. Hallelujah. How can a number of people getting married in your church be testimony? Where's Pastor Lan? And that is what is happening to our men. Don't let us hear that one here. This place is too holy. What happened to our men? The last year, we have 58 babies. This year, we just have 50. What's happening to our men in the church? It's Pastor Lan that has those kind of testimonies. When you see him, ask him where it happens. I'm away from things like that. So when you receive edification, it's for the work of the ministry. Do you get my point? We're not told to bring sinners to church. We're told to go where they are. Did you hear me? Very good. When Jesus, watch me, when Jesus had gone around the cities and towns in Matthew's Gospel 4 verse 23, Matthew's Gospel 9, the next thing he said, when he saw a crowd, he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. The Bible says, Matthew's Gospel 9, So the harvest is plentiful. Verse 37, verse 38, said the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Praise the Lord. What are we talking about? The next thing he did, after that statement, he now sent out the 12. In other words, pay attention. The reason for spiritual growth, edification, is to do more ministry. Spiritual growth is not acquiring insight into the word. And say, I now know the Greek word for God. Thank you very much. You have tried. See, I've even gone further to the Latin word. Spiritual growth is when you begin to disciple people. You begin to win souls for the Lord. That is a proof that you're growing. Men are now following you in Christ. That is spiritual growth. Are you listening? In Acts 1:8, what is it? Shall receive power after the Holy Ghost to come upon you? So you shall be witnesses of me. In other words, as they were full of the Spirit, it promoted evangelism. You know, the very first thing that happened after Acts 2, 1-4, was that 3,000 received Christ. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? 3,000. So, if we're a church filled with the Spirit, it should not be just a function of the Holy Ghost meeting. Glory! Glory! And then we go out and do nothing. Being full of the Spirit inspires soul winning. You go out and reach the unsaved. And tell them about Jesus. After Peter was done with those guys, Acts 2:37 said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then he told them, verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive remissions of sins and the gift of, for the remission of sins, pardon me, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, as many as are far off, whom the Lord our God shall call. The Bible says the number of those that were added were 3,000, about 3,000. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, 31, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, and they now spoke the word of God with boldness. Are you there? You go read Saul, Paul now. In Acts 9:15, as Ananias laid hands on him and he was filled with the Spirit, the Bible says, immediately he rose and went to testify that Jesus is the Christ. So when you are filled with the Spirit, you preach the gospel. When you are edified, you preach the gospel. In Acts 6, when hands were laid on Philip and Stephen, the Bible says, as soon as they laid those hands on them, he says that the word of God in verse 7 increased, Acts 6. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Evangelism always happens. You take the gospel to the unsaved. Any church you attend that does not inspire you to do evangelism is a wrong church. Any church that is promoting business entrepreneurship in you, and that's what they are doing for you, not for you to take the gospel to the unsaved, you are in the wrong church. I'll repeat myself in case you didn't hear me the first time. You are in the wrong church. What you have is a business association using the name of Jesus. What else is in the mind of Christ but the salvation of the world? The salvation of the world. They asked one man, they asked him on television, international television, said, do you have one message in the Bible that you want the whole world to hear? The person who asked him was a Muslim. The man was a pastor. Said, you have one message that you want the world to hear from the Bible. If there's one message, what would you call it? The man said, giving. I'm surprised. I'm sure the interviewer would have been shocked, huh? He said, generosity. That when you come before God, that what would be the most important is how generous you were on earth. I shook my head. What other chance do you have to talk about Jesus? He couldn't mention Jesus. Paul was in chains before Agrippa and Festus. And he began to speak the gospel. Hallelujah. The guy said, you are persuading me to be a Christian already. Hallelujah. They asked you a question. What is the message in the Bible? The most important. You said giving. Shame on you. Shame on you. The most important message is the man. Jesus Christ. Who died for our sins. Who was buried for our sins. Raised for our justification. Praise the Lord of the world. Hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. God was made manifest in the flesh. Praise the Lord. Preaching all the world. Seen of angels. Justified in the spirit. Received up in the glory. Hallelujah. What other message do you have? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Wherever you are, don't be under pressure. If you are before the President of America, preach the gospel. Did you hear what I'm saying? If you are on CNN, preach the gospel. Wherever you are, preach the gospel. Are you ashamed of your Savior? Are you ashamed of mentioning Jesus? Years ago, one guy was organizing a program. He said, well, I don't want to put Jesus there so that it will not appear like a Jesus program. I said, why? The name of Jesus does not scare, it saves. Put the name there. Put the name there. Hallelujah. He said, you know, people may not come. I said, who is deceiving you? They came in the book of Acts. They came in the four gospels. They are coming all over the world. In Pakistan, they are coming. In India, they are coming. In Saudi Arabia, they are coming. Except it's not the same Jesus that I know. Hallelujah. For there is no name given among men. Under heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Whereby anyone might be saved. But the name of Jesus, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah! That is our message. Glory to God. Some guy said this, there's a new move. What's the move? Revelation of Jesus. You are tired. How can revelation of Jesus be a move? Say, so you search the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life. They are there to testify of me. Hallelujah. Luke 24:25 said, oh fool, slow of heart, to believe all the prophet that's spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory and begin at Moses with all the scriptures. He has told them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. John's Gospel 1:45, we have found him, not it. We have found him of whom the scripture has spoken. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the center point of scripture. He's the revelation of God. His hope, his life, his love, his grace, his mercy. He's everything. He's not a message. He's the message. So I said, we want application. How can you meet Christ and you're looking for application? What application? He says the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Application. What application? Let's apply those things to. That means you don't have revelation yet. When you have revelation, you don't ask for application. Hallelujah. We behold him as he sees us in him. Hallelujah. That changes everything. That changes everything. Preach the gospel. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. He didn't go to Samaria and then he organized entrepreneurship seminar. Sometimes we say funny things in the body of Christ today. They say, well, it's these days. I tell people, in the days of Jesus, they were comedians, they were artists, they were musicians, they were dancers. You know, dance for Herod? They were dancers. Jesus did not use any of them in his ministry. You know, he had parables. Had he spoke the parables, he would have said, Peter, you will act the prodigal son. Thomas, one of the servants. Judas. Judas, prodigal son. Change. John, be the father. No, he didn't do all those things. He did not reduce the message to fiction. He didn't reduce the message to entertainments. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This message loses its power when you remove it from speaking. The power of the gospel is in the preaching. The minute you reduce it to entertainment and fiction, it loses the power. It's called gospel. Gospel means to say it out, to announce it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Brothers and sisters, I leave you with these words. Go back to your nation. Go back to your state, your city, your campus, your church, your ministry, wherever you came from, and stand strong on the message of Jesus Christ. Paul says, be instant in season and out of season. God's ultimate plan for the earth is salvation. I close now. In Acts 19, when Paul laid his hands on those 12 and the Holy Ghost came on them and they prophesied, notice what happened afterwards was that so mightily grew the word and prevailed. Acts 19:20. You wonder, how did that happen? In Acts 20, when Paul came back to that city, he now met those men. They were now elders. Elders. In other words, as they were full of the Spirit, they got involved in the work of the ministry. The proof of ministry. When you listen to me, I love businessmen. I want a lot of businessmen in our churches. I love them. I love to have businessmen, politicians. I don't mind having the president of Nigeria in the church. But you see, that is not the proof of a church. The proof of ministry is that people, regardless of their professions and careers, they are involved in the ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel. If there's someone in your church, because he's a governor or is the MD of a bank, he's not involved in evangelism, you are not doing his spiritual life any good. You should call him, sir. We had outreach last week. Where were you? Well, I was busy. When will you not be busy? People like you go to clubs. Am I making sense? When will you not be busy during the week, sir? So that we can go out together and share Christ. That is the kind of church you should attend. When Jesus said, go into all the world, he was talking to everybody. The businessman, the non-businessman, the career person, the lecturer, the student. And that's our message. I leave you with those words. Believers Convention 2016. As we close, your vision is sharpened. May you not lose sight of your vision. As we close, may your heart remain steadfast. As we close, may your focus never change. As we close, may your message not be altered by men. As we close, may the only sign of your ministry come by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not give in to magic. You will not give in to entertainment. You will not give in to tricks and manipulation. Your strength is in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus and in the love of God, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which builds you up and grants you that inheritance among those that are sanctified, that you be strengthened by His Spirit in your inner man, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what's the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? For we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I stand in my own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And I put all things under his feet. Then we have all things in the church's body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I pray for you that your heart does not deviate out of the grace of God. I pray for you that you don't succumb to the tricks of men, the cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that you will not succumb to them. Several decades from today, Jesus will be your only song, your only message, your only desire. He will be your only gifts and your only gifting by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands, just worship God. Worship God. Stand to your feet, just worship God.